The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Stabbing Into a Mystery, the podcast that digs deep into chilling murder cases and their eerie secrets. I'm your host, DJ Red Rum, and together we'll explore these shocking stories. Are you ready to stab into the mystery? Let's begin. Hello, and welcome to episode number one. I thought the best way to start off this series is to talk about one of the most notorious and mysterious figures in American criminal history, the Zodiac Killer. During the late 1960s and early 1970s, his reign of terror in Northern California led to a number of high-profile murder cases. With both his cryptic letters and puzzles, he baffled both law enforcement and amateur sleuths for decades. The Zodiac Killer was never caught, and the mystery surrounding his identity continues to intrigue many to this day. So, let's unravel this case together. On December 20th, 1968, Betty Lou Jensen, a 16-year-old student at Hogan High School, and her boyfriend, David Faraday, a 17-year-old student at Vallejo High School, were both on a date. The two were parked on Lake Herman's Road in a rural area outside of Vallejo, California. As they were enjoying each other's company, they noticed a dark figure approach them from behind. With no warning, he opened fire. Unfortunately, David was fatally shot and did not make it. Betty Lou attempted to flee, but was also caught and did not make it. After this unfortunate incident, the Zodiac Killer left with no witnesses, signs of struggle, and no explanation for why he had done it. When police arrived, there was no signs of robbery and no obvious motive. What makes this crime more unsettling is the fact that there was no immediate connection to the Zodiac at the time. Police thought it was just some random incident, and they had no idea that they were going to be dealing with a serial killer who would taunt them over and over and over again. It wasn't until 7 months later, on the 4th of July in 1969, when the Zodiac's next confirmed murders happened. Darlene Farron, who was 22 years old, and her companion, Michael Majau, who was 19 years old, were both parked in a secluded area in Blue Rock Springs Park. It was known as a lover's lane near Vallejo. It was late in the evening, and the two were relaxing in the car when the Zodiac appeared. With no warning, the killer approached the car and once again opened fire. Darlene unfortunately did not make it, but Michael barely survived. Although badly injured, he was able to give a description of the man who attacked him. He described the Zodiac as a white male who was approximately 5'8" to 6 feet tall, with short, light brown hair. The Zodiac had no other plans besides the attack. He didn't take anything from the victims, and he made sure not to stay for long. What makes this attack different is that the Zodiac actually made a phone call to the Vallejo Police Department at around 12:40 a.m. He confessed to this crime and the previous one, all in a chilling phone call where he taunted the police for their failure to catch him. It was the first actual glimpse into the twisted psychology of the Zodiac. He didn't just commit these crimes. He wanted the recognition for them, and he wanted to make sure people knew his name. On August 1st, in 1969, the Zodiac prepared letters, which were given to the Vallejo Times-Herald, San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco Examiner. In these letters, he stated that he was the one that killed the couples at Lake Herman Road and Blue Rock Springs. Of course, his letters contained a lot of creepy and messed up messages, but what stood out the most is that he included a third of a 408 symbol cryptogram. The Zodiac claimed that this was the answer to his identity, and that future letters would contain the remaining two-thirds. Of course, he still wanted to have control over the situation, so he told the paper editors in his letter that if they did not publish the cryptogram in the paper, he would lash out, committing more crimes. The publishing of the cryptogram is what really made the public more invested in who the Zodiac Killer was. Everyone wanted to figure out what was said in the cryptogram, and pretty much everyone was trying to solve it. On September 22, 1969, the Zodiac escalated his violence even further by committing one of the most chilling attacks in his entire spree. Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Ann Shepherd were spending a relaxing afternoon by Lake Berryessa. The two were sitting by the water when a man approached them. Even though they were in a public area, this wasn't just some normal guy walking around. Like, the dude was really suspicious, and he made it very obvious. Like, he was hiding behind a tree, wearing a weird, like, executioner hood with the symbol that many people know as the Zodiac symbol, which is the circle and the cross within it. And of course, when Cecilia saw him, she started freaking out. Once Brian noticed him as well, the Zodiac ended up confronting Brian and Cecilia. I'm going to skip the details of what happened, but at the end of it, both Brian and Cecilia were badly injured. Something that was different, though, is that the Zodiac didn't go away like he normally did. He actually stayed afterwards, and he walked over to Brian's car, and he drew the symbol that we all know to be the Zodiac signature symbol, and he did that symbol on the door along with a message, which was basically the dates of his previous attacks. Brian did survive the attack, but sadly Cecilia did not. Brian was able to help give more of a description on the Zodiac, but it was pretty similar to the previous description already given. He said it was a white male with a stocky build, approximately 5'8", and the only other piece of evidence they found there was a shoe print, which was a size 10. The Zodiac's final confirmed murder occurred just 1 month later. On October 11th, 1969, Paul Stein, a 29-year-old taxicab driver, picked up a fare in the upscale neighborhood of Presidio Heights in San Francisco. Sadly, he did not know that this would be his last ride. As they were driving through the city, the Zodiac randomly just opens fire. A huge thing about this incident is that there were three individuals that actually witnessed the crime. Like, they literally saw the Zodiac go through Stein's belongings in the front of the cab, and they saw him wipe down the cab with what appeared to be a piece of cloth, which he was most likely wiping away fingerprints. And of course, the Zodiac made a huge mistake by not wearing a mask. So these three individuals were able to describe him pretty well. The description they gave to the cops was that he was a white male between the ages of 25 to 30 with a stocky build. He had reddish-brown hair and wore heavy-rimmed glasses, and he was in all dark clothing. This description of the Zodiac, of course, became the infamous sketch that everyone knows. The one thing that really bugs me, though, is that dispatch miscommunicated the description that was given by the witnesses, and they told responding officers that the suspect was a black man. The responding officers, Donald Folk and Eric Zelms, passed a man who very well could have been the Zodiac Killer on Jackson Street. But due to the inaccuracy of the information provided to them, they really didn't stop and question him. The police officers did ask the guy if he had seen anyone suspicious running around town. And of course, that guy said he did see someone, and he pointed the cops in the direction of where the supposed man went. Of course, it wasn't until the correct description was given to them when they realized their mistake. And by that time, they had no trace as to where he could have gone. When the crime scene was secured, the police did find a bloody fingerprint, which possibly could have been missed by the Zodiac Killer. At first, the cops believed that the incident was not related to the Zodiac because this time he actually took things from the victim. One of those things, oddly enough, being a piece of Paul's shirt. This missing piece was later found, like 2 days later, on October 13th, 1969. The San Francisco Chronicle would receive a letter from the Zodiac Killer claiming responsibility for the murder, with the missing portion of the shirt included. He taunted the police by saying they could have caught him if they had searched the park, and he even said that two cops made a mistake. From what I understand, or from my assumption, when he said that, I assumed that he was referring to Officer Donald Folk and Eric Zelms, but I could be mistaken. And now I think it's really important to go through the possible suspects. One of the most prominent suspects in the Zodiac Killer case to this date is Arthur Lee Allen. His potential connection to the Zodiac began with the murder of Sherry Jo Bates in Riverside, California on October 30th, 1966. Arthur was reportedly in Riverside that weekend, and police would later discover a Royal typewriter, which was similar to the one used for the anonymous confession letters, in Arthur's home. Arthur was fired from his teaching position for inappropriate behavior with his students. And since he got fired, he moved back to his parents' house, which was, weirdly enough, minutes away from the site of the first Zodiac killings in December of 1968. Another weird coincidence is that Arthur's brother gifted him a Zodiac watch in 1967, which bore the same circle cross symbol that the Zodiac used. And to make it even more weird, Arthur also allegedly told his friend Don Chinney in the late 1960s about his desire to kill couples, taunt police with letters, and conveniently enough, use the name Zodiac. He was questioned frequently, and police had many warrants to search his home. He also had a shoe size of 10, but despite these links, there was no concrete evidence linking him to the crimes. The next suspect was Richard Gajkowski. He was a reporter and editor for the counterculture tabloids Good Times. This tabloid was known for publishing content that would taunt the police and even explain how to make a bomb. Not to mention, Gajkowski's appearance really resembled the sketch. And weirdly enough, the word Gajk also appeared in the Zodiac cipher that claimed to contain his identity. A more compelling piece of evidence would be that Nancy Slover, which was a police dispatcher who answered one of the Zodiac calls, identified the Zodiac's voice as Richard's. Even with all of that, it still wasn't enough evidence to link him to the crimes. The last well-known suspect, and one of the most recent, is Gary Francis Post. In 2021, a group known as the Case Breakers, which is a really cool name, but anyways, this group consisted of former police officers, forensic analysts, and retired military investigators, which they stated publicly that they believed Post was responsible for the killings. They, of course, made big claims, like saying his DNA had a strong resemblance to the DNA recovered at the Zodiac crime scenes. And they also said that he resembled the sketch drawings of the Zodiac, which was also true. One thing I found really interesting is that they said he was secretly a suspect since 2016, which makes it a little weird that they barely told the public in 2021, but whatever. Coincidentally enough, he also had the same shoe size as the Zodiac, and he lived near the area of the murders, and of course owned his own firearms. But still, no concrete evidence could actually link him to the crimes. I really think if the police officers had stopped that guy just walking around San Francisco, they possibly could have found the Zodiac killer, but there's no saying that it was him. It could have just been a random person as well. But the Zodiac Killer remains one of the most terrifying figures in criminal history, and his taunting cryptic letters and his ability to evade capture is what truly left us all haunted by his mysteries. I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.